So thanks very much for having me today. So this is something completely different. I wanted to talk about a project that I worked on, examining the concept of incorporating carrier screening into online dating. So in terms of disclosure, I do actually have something I want to disclose, different than most speakers. So this the data was collected under the auspices of a company, MyGenes Inc., that's no longer in business. The data was collected by myself while I was examining the idea of actually taking this and making it into a company. So Emory University that I work for was aware of that process at the whole time. Once I decided not to pursue it, then I went back through their conflict of interest committee, and the data was largely unanalyzed at that point, so I went through our IRB there and received permission to do the analysis. So I'm going to present some of the information that was gathered today. All right, so just a few points about what the current state of carrier status is. So again, we're looking for, this is reproductive carrier screening, looking for people that are at risk to have children with a genetic condition. It is recommended by multiple professional organizations. It's usually ethnic focused or specific disease focused at this time. In reality, this is often not done until in the context of a pregnancy. So if someone is already pregnant when they're offered carrier screening, that's really what happens in the real world. And multiplex testing is becoming more and more common. So just as one example, there's a company that offers screening for more than 100 conditions, for common mutations for those conditions, for $350, which is less than I paid for CF alone when I needed it. So I was giving a talk on carrier screening, and you can't really do that without talking about the Dori Shurim program. And so this was a program that was started by a rabbi to focus on the ultra-Orthodox Jewish population in New York. So he really was trying to turn his personal tragedy into something useful. So he and his wife had actually had four children that were affected with Tay-Sachs disease, which, for those of you that may not be familiar, it's really a devastating condition. Children die in early childhood from it. So because of that, Dori Shurim was born. And it initially focused on Tay-Sachs disease, but has now been expanded to include other conditions. As a result of this program and other programs that have focused on the Jewish population, there's now been a 90% reduction in the number of babies born with Tay-Sachs, which is really hard to argue with that kind of success. So how do we take that kind of idea? One of the ways that the way that Dori Shurim works is it's actually pre-relationship screening. So they essentially work by avoiding marriages that where two people are carriers. So most of us don't have arranged marriages. Is there any way to kind of take that same concept and expand it to a larger group? So this led me to this idea, which was essentially to use online dating as the context for this. So if you've ever been involved in online dating, it creates this kind of social distance that's not there if you meet someone face-to-face at a function or a bar or wherever you meet a class. So you really can go in and select, I want people in this geographical area, this age, this, they have kids, they don't have kids. So you really can be kind of, it allows a sort of selectivity that you just don't have in other contexts. So to give you an overview of the idea, essentially, let's say I'm an online dater, I go onto the site, and I'm offered this additional kind of screening. So I decide I want to have this genetic screening, and I go through some kind of educational process about that. I get a saliva kit in the mail, and then I send it back in. Someone communicates the results back to me. So I would, the way I was thinking about this would probably be genetic counselors that were doing this. So once you have your results back, then, and you actually Other programs like Doris Shorm don't actually give specific carrier results back, but I feel that like that's important. So give those results back. Now, how does that get translated into online dating? Well, if you, the idea is essentially to take that result and translate it into kind of a nonsense code that could be added to your dating profile. So I do the test, I get screened, I'm a CF carrier, and that basically gets translated into my profile as type A. So type A is what's added to my profile on an online dating site. And that would allow essentially the site to follow your instructions. So if you want just to be warned about other people who are CF carriers, then that could happen. If you wanted the site to automatically just not show you profiles of people who are also CF carriers, then you could choose to do that as well. And so in thinking about what that really looks like, if I have 20, you know, I'm Caucasian, I'm a CF carrier, if I have 25 matches that would have shown up, I would only have 24. So it's not a huge impact in terms of the number of people in your dating pool, but could make a huge impact on your life. So why online dating? It really is becoming increasingly popular, increasingly mainstream and accepted. In the United States, somewhere between 11 and 15% of all single adults are involved in online dating at any time. So in 2010, that translated into 9 million adults. So that's a cross-section. So last night, 9 million people were on their online dating sites. And it looks like about every 4 to 6 months, that number completely turns over. So it's really a huge number of people that are involved. If you just look at specific sites like JDate, which is focused on the Jewish population, then 1 in 5 people that go to that site actually meet their long-term partner or marriage partner through them. So it's really making an impact. Other countries actually have higher rates of use. So in France, it's around 22%, and in the UK, around 20%. So basically, I conducted an online survey in March of 2010. I did go through a marketing company called eRewards, and this company, unlike the one that we just heard earlier, they, you know, we certainly could have had professional survey takers, because essentially eReward gives them credits for surveys that they fill out, and they can accumulate those, you know, credits for prizes or whatever. So know that that's the sample. We had 400 people that completed it. It was collected over 3 days, which is really fast. People were screened based on their age, so 18 to 45, sexual orientation, current marital status, and no identifying information was collected. So the eRewards people knew who these people were, but that was not ever transmitted to us. So again, it's a U.S. population. We did have more women than men that completed it. 80% had never been married. Most were between 21 and 45. Most had not had children, but 60% intended to do that in the future. So in terms of race and ethnicity, we did have overrepresentation of white and Asian respondents. And underrepresentation of Black and Hispanic respondents. So keep that in mind. The education was a higher level than the general population, which makes some sense because these are people willing to fill out a computer survey. Most geographical regions of the country were well represented. Most religious groups were represented well, but we did have more Catholics and Jews who responded than the U.S. population does in terms of percentages. I wanted to make sure that we were getting some diversity in terms of kind of political ideology. So really, we added a question that said, how would you describe yourself? Moderate middle of the road, progressive, liberal, or traditional conservative. And we really did have people who fell in those. Good representation across that group. So in terms of looking at the group, so 44% of this group of single adults had participated in online dating in the past. Currently, 14% were using it, which falls right into that 11 to 15%. And almost half of them stated that they were likely to do so in the future. And in terms of concern about having a child with a genetic disease, half of people reported that they were concerned, 30% that they were not concerned, and about a quarter of them were unsure. So following this question, you know, how concerned are you about having a child with a genetic disease, I really just asked why or why not, and then had a text field where people could type things in. And I didn't add this to the slides for the sake of time, but high concern was very correlated with some kind of personal experience with a genetic disease. So either through their own medical history, knowing someone that had a genetic condition, or even education or profession related to healthcare. In terms of low concern, the number one thing by far cited was no family history. So it's sort of, you know, family history equals genetic risk, as we heard in the last talk, and we saw the same thing with this. So if you're, you know, talking about recessive carrier screening, the absence of a family history doesn't really help you that much, and so that's concerning a little bit in terms of promoting promoting screening. And there clearly needs to be some education around around these conditions. So about 6% of people had already had carrier screening. 40% said that they plan to do so before having children. Given the fact that multiplex testing or testing for multiple conditions at one time is really increasing, I wanted to ask, you know, what did people want to be screened for? So the majority of people wanted to be screened for more than just the most common conditions. And really almost half said that they wanted as many genetic diseases, whether they were common or rare, as possible to be included. So one of the limitations of this study is that I can't really separate out attitudes about online dating in general from attitudes about this sort of idea. One way that I try to get an idea of how this concept of pre-relationship screening would impact people's choices was I put in two blind date scenarios that I'll just read real quick. So this is the first one. So if you knew that you and a blind date had a higher than normal chance to have a child with a serious genetic disease, how likely would you be to pursue other relationships in order to prevent this from happening? So 43% said that they were very or somewhat likely to change their relationship choices. 40% were not sure, and really only about 20% said that that would not impact it. Again, today, in clinics everywhere, what's happening is people aren't really talking about this issue until they're pregnant, because they're not offered carrier screening until they're pregnant. So this is a second scenario. If you and a blind date had a higher than normal chance to have a child with a serious genetic disease, when would you most likely talk about this for the first time? And really, I mean, because this is what happens now, so the minority of people would wait until that time period. The majority would talk about it earlier. And I will say, like, I'm aware that I loaded this question to some degree. I put serious genetic disease in and higher than normal chance. So really there could have been other ways of being more balanced in that question. All right, so I've already described this service, so I won't read that to you. So really about a third of people said that they would be interested in this kind of service. If you think back on the numbers that I talked about with online dating, so that's 3 million people that would be interested in something like this. We have at Emory the Atlanta Jewish Gene Screen Program, and we work really hard and beat the bushes and do all kinds of promotion, and we get a couple hundred people a year. So it's really, you know, promoting this kind of thing is difficult, and this is a large number of people. Interest in the service was correlated with having a positive attitude towards online dating. So again, I couldn't really separate out feelings about this service from feelings about online dating. They were younger and male, which I'm not really sure what that's about. I have to think about that. So in terms of why or why not were they interested, and again, I just said, why are you interested or not? You know, and so 223 people actually wrote in an answer, why or why not. And so I just went back and looked for common themes. So if in the group that was interested, there were four themes that emerged. One was utility. So they felt like this was a useful service. Prevention, that prevention was important, was the second one. Having that kind of the timing of the information was good. Having it early. And again, they were interested because of personal experiences with the disease. So that was similar to what we found when we asked about why are you concerned. In terms of why were you not interested, the number one reason was, well, I don't want to do online dating at all. So that wasn't really a helpful answer. But there were certainly other things that were related to the service that emerged. One was ethical concerns. So people were concerned about using this type of service for partner selection and felt that that really might not be an ethical thing to do. They were concerned about privacy of their information. There were certainly people who, wrote in like, this would be killing the romance, or, just like, this is not the right place to do this. And there was also, it wasn't one of the most common themes, but there were people that wrote like, this is the ickiest idea I've ever heard of, or, very strong reactions about that. But we also had comments in the interested section. One person said that they were interested because they knew they had sickle cell trait, and there really was no way to, actually kind of proactively avoid marrying someone else with sickle cell trait. This would give her a venue for prevention. So it was interesting responses. In terms of what were the most important things, features of this kind of a service, some of these are predictable, expense, privacy. One of the things I'd point out is, so I asked if having the option of doing this at home, so having a home kit versus having to go see your physician, how important was that? So over half said that being able to do it at home was very important, and compared to 18% who said that it wasn't. So when we think about all this direct-to-consumer testing and issues related to that, I thought this was an interesting finding. So just in conclusion, I do think that there is some interest in this type of service. Privacy and cost would be an issue if you're going to implement it. Given the significant number of people that answered I don't know to a lot of the, are you concerned about having a child with a genetic disease? Would you be interested? There would need to be a lot of education around the idea. And the overwhelming majority of respondents did say that they would talk about the situation, talk about the fact that they're both carriers prior to an actual pregnancy, I thought was important. Because screening in pregnancy is not always a benign process. I mean, it really adds a lot of, you're not able to educate as much, you're not able to give as informed consent. And if you, if you're already pregnant, then, and you won't consider termination of a pregnancy, then you really are kind of left with your only option of just preparing for an affected child. So in terms of limitations, again, this was conducted outside of the academic environment by me. It unquestionably would have benefited by having a group of people really thinking about it, not just myself. It did not allow any kind of separation of attitudes regarding online dating from this concept. The qualitative methodology was really very, I would say, rudimentary. So it was really just looking for written in things. And the sample is not representative of the U.S. population as a whole. And that's it. Any questions?